one of my favorite quotes is, trust is a greater compliment than love. So for them to start trusting us, that's a greater compliment. How do you start doing that? Well, you start spending one-on-one time with them.
I think with that comes an experience that you get here that just allows you to grow in a lot of ways. You're surrounded with people who care about you in a lot more ways than just how hard you can throw and how far you can hit the ball.
You know, I've been more concerned about fielding percentages and batting averages and wins and all those types of things, and it goes much more beyond that now.
You're dialed in to the ABCA's Calls from the Clubhouse podcast, connecting our coaches with some of the best baseball minds in our game. Now here's your host, Jeremy Schiedinger.
Are back and better than ever, guys. We're broadcasting live from the ABCA National Office here in Greensboro, North Carolina. You're dialed back into our podcast, the very first episode of 2017. Thanks for listening in. It's a new year. It's new episodes. It's new guests. It's new topics. But the most important aspect of our Calls from the Clubhouse podcast has stayed the same. We will continue to deliver on certified audio gold for our coaches, and this episode is certainly that. First and foremost, we want to thank our sponsor of the podcast, AstroTurf, one of the ABCA's proud partners, and we're fired up to have them supporting our show, helping us reach more and more coaches with this tremendous content, and big thanks to the crew over there at AstroTurf, and we'll be hearing from them later in the show. Like we mentioned a few moments ago, it's a new year for us on the show, so how fitting is it that we throw out our first pitch with new year, new dugouts? And we sat down with three new head coaches in our game, discuss their transition to wearing the crown now as head coach of highly respected and successful programs. We're talking to Scott Jackson, new head coach at Liberty University, Nick Mangione, the new lead man at the University of Kentucky, and Travis Jewett, the new skipper down at Tulane University, are our guests on today's show. And when you round up three former rock star assistant coaches and now head coaches, you put them on the same show, the energy, it's easy to catch, and we're hoping that your earbuds don't catch on fire, guys, and there's your heads up on that one. It becomes apparent very quickly that each guy has a plan for their program, as all three have waited for the right opportunities to become a head coach. They work for great baseball men who, you can tell, groom them for their new office chairs. And you can hear how prepared each of these guys are, how humble, how appreciative each of these men are for their chance to run their own shows. But you can also hear the laughs as these three guys are friends. They've spent a great deal of time together out on the recruiting trails over the years. The off-air moments and the conversations are worth their weight in gold, but the on-air info will truly give each of you guys some real insight into who Coach Jackson, Coach Mangione, and Coach Jewett are as people, stewards of our game, leaders of men, and now head college baseball coaches. So let's dive right in. Let's not waste any more time. Let's jump in with Scott Jackson from Liberty, Nick Mangione from Kentucky, and Travis Jewett from Tulane on our first episode of our 2017 Calls from the Clubhouse podcast coming to you right now. As coaches, when you approach your season, you always look to schedule in one of two ways. You either look to start your season off with a bunny because you need a couple wins, or you look to challenge yourself first week and really find out about your team. We've done both those things, and let me explain. We've kicked off our very first 2017 Calls from the Clubhouse podcast with a bunny. This is an absolute layup. These three guys are superstars in college baseball. It's a bunny. We're going to win no matter what. It's also a challenge, and I've prepared for this because I've got the ABCA National Office fire extinguisher right by my desk because I think the energy on this call may set my computer on fire. But we're excited. There's a challenge here, but we're ready to tackle it. And we got three, again, of the best coaches, young head coaches in college baseball. Let's first welcome the new head coach at Liberty University, Scott Jackson. Scott, thanks for being on the call with us.
Thanks, Sheets. Fired up for the season and fired up to be here with you guys today.
Love it. Thanks for being on with us. And we also got the University of Kentucky head coach, Nick Mangione. Minge, thanks for being on the call.
Of course, Sheets. Appreciate you thinking about us, and we're all excited.
And last but certainly not least, we're sending it down to New Orleans, the new head coach at Tulane University, Travis Jewett. Big Jew, thanks for being on the call, my man.
You're welcome, Sheets. Appreciate you having us.
So again, these three guys, as our listeners will quickly figure out, have mega energy. Before we started recording, there was a lot of hooting and hollering, and hopefully get some of that in the show. But we're going to kick this off and really just kind of give our listeners just a
maybe a different perspective of where you guys have come from and your path in the game. So, Coach Jackson from Liberty, will you kick us off? Just talk us through your path in college baseball and what got you to the head spot now at Liberty University.
Yeah, I mean, I played at Campbell, got done playing, and probably like a lot of coaches, you didn't want to come to grips with the fact that you had to leave the field. So the only way for me, being not a very good player, was to try to coach. And so I was just fortunate to be around some people who gave me an opportunity in many instances that I probably wasn't ready for. So just a lot of fear of failure and trying to get myself in a position where I was learning as much as I could. I went from Wofford College to Barton College and then back to my alma mater at Campbell, all at one-year stints before Mark Scaff down at UNC Wilmington hired me to be the pitching coach down there. And I had zero experience working with pitchers. So I was there for 5 years, enjoyed some success there, and then came here to Liberty as an assistant and a pitching coach for a year. And then for some reason, Mike Fox hired me at North Carolina. So I have yet to figure that out, but for me, it was just a lot of luck and a lot of fortune of being around some guys that trusted me with a lot of responsibility at a time, you know, when I was young, and here I am. So just very fortunate, feel lucky to be here.
That's great. And then over to UK, Coach Mangione. Obviously, listeners may not know, but Nick is the only reason, and I'll say this publicly now that I have the forum to do it, that I even got the opportunity to coach at UK. So I've known Nick for quite a while, but Nick, you've got an interesting path that brought you all the way up to being the head coach at UK. Obviously, thank you for helping me, but give us your path in college baseball to get you to the head spot there at Kentucky.
Yeah, sure. So, you know, I graduated college and went straight to high school, but I lived in Fort Myers, and Dave Tillett's a good friend of mine, and Florida Gulf Coast was just starting out a brand new program. And he asked me to come aboard, and we actually, it was a really neat deal. We were trying to recruit the first ever team. And I did that for a year without ever stepping on a field, and I just felt led to go back to Embry-Riddle, where I played a little NAIA school in Daytona Beach, and spent 3 great years there and ended up playing for a national championship. And John Cohen calls while he was the head coach here at Kentucky, and it was too good to pass up. And, of course, that's where you and I got to know each other and mm-hmm. developed such a great relationship, and have a ton of respect for you and what you're doing now. But spent 2 years in Lexington, and absolutely loved it, and needed some more recruiting experience. So I went to Western Carolina for 10 months, and at about that time, John Cohen gets the head coaching job at Mississippi State, and he comes calling, and there I go. So I spent the past 8 years in Starkville, Mississippi, and now, of course, back here at the University of Kentucky. Spent a lot of years being poor and sleeping on couches and things of that nature, but definitely happy the way it's worked out so far.
That's great.
What's that mean? You're getting paid a lot of money? Is that what you're telling us?
It's all relative. When you grow up poor, it's like anything's a lot of money.
That's great. Now, Coach Jewett, we actually might need to extend this hour of all the places you stopped in, but give us your path through college baseball, exactly, that got you to the head spot there at Tulane University.
Well, unlike these two studs, I had to start out the junior college ranks. You know, kind of funny. Probably about 1994-ish, got a call from the local junior college where I grew up, actually, Tacoma, Washington. Kind of like, we need a coach. You know, we're desperate. Would you want to do this? And at the time, didn't really know kind of the path that I was, you know, heading on, so to speak, and jumped in and got the old itch, so to speak, and had 2 junior college jobs, 1 kind of up north after that in Edmonds, Washington, had some successes there, and then was got my first Division I job at Gonzaga University. I remember a guy who I'll refer to in this phone call probably a few times, but his name's Mark Maktoff. He's the head coach at Gonzaga right now. He called me up and said, hey, we're looking for a coach. Do you know of anybody? I said, geez, I don't know anybody. I mean, he goes, well, I do. I said, well, why the hell are you calling me then? You know? And he said, well, I'm talking to him. And he said, if you have some interest in getting into the game, so to speak, I think this would be a good move for you. So he talked me into a $5,000 a year job, boys, no benefits. And my oldest son, who's now 19, just was born in that January. And we went over there and tried to act like we were going to be able to make it work, and kind of got the whole thing brewing. And then I kind of made all the other stops in the Northwest. I hit Washington State, then off to Arizona State, recently, Vanderbilt, now heading further southeast, great University of Tulane.
You guys have obviously made impressions everywhere you've been, a lot of success. There's some World Series appearances. There's conference championships. There's a lot of wins on the phone call. And what's great about it is you guys waited for great opportunities, and when you pounced on them, you took over relatively successful programs. We're talking about Liberty, Tulane, UK. We're talking some regional appearances, talking some super regional appearances, some conference championships. You got some good things that have happened there. But what I'm interested in, Coach Mingione, I'm going to let you kick this off, is what have you and your staff brought to each spot? When you take over a successful program, there's a little bit of a different approach as opposed to a, you know, a complete rebuilding. So what would have been your staff's approach to that spot at UK, but also what have been your priorities that you've really felt like you've knocked out this fall and this winter?
Well, you know, anytime you're dealing with change, I don't care if you're dealing with an adult or you're dealing with 18 to 22-year-olds, let's be honest, change is hard.
Sure.
Change is hard. So the very first team meeting, we laid out some expectations and things of that nature, but we just also explained to them how hard change is. So just, they were either going to embrace it or they were going to fight it. And it was either going to be the most special thing that they could ever experience, or it could be, quite frankly, it could be miserable if that's the way they wanted to make it. And I've just been so impressed with this group because they have just so embraced it. And, you know, every time you're dealing with change, everyone handles it differently. So, you know, getting to know your players, just try to speeding up that entire process of what makes them click, what doesn't. And ultimately treating everybody different, but having the same standards and holding everybody accountable to the same things. But at the same time, getting to know them on a personal relationship, because you know what? One of my favorite quotes is trust is a greater compliment than love. So, you know, for them to start trusting us, that's a greater compliment. So how do you start doing that? Well, you start spending one-on-one time with them. You start putting them in situations where you can see them fail, and you start correcting, you know, any behaviors or things of that nature you don't like. And it, ultimately, it just takes time. It takes time. And you know what? We all want it to go really fast, and we want it to go the way we want it, but it takes time. And I tell you what, this group we're coaching right now has maybe picked up as fast, if not faster, than any group I've been a part of. And it's been really fun thus far.
That's pretty awesome. Thanks for going in on that. Travis, same question. You're taking over a program there at Tulane that's had some success on the field, but as you and your staff walk in, what would you bring to that spot, and kind of what were your thoughts and what you really wanted to accomplish, and sitting here, you know, on this day, you want to make sure that you had done throughout the fall and the winter?
Well, I think Nick's, you know, said it well. It's just, for me, it's relationships. You know, we walked in here and you look at our roster, it's heavy, older gentlemen, and I'm talking about guys 16 to 17 of these guys are, you know, either in their last year or their draft year, all those types of things. So this could be the end of it. But I'm actually their fourth coach, some of these guys.
Wow.
So bless their hearts. I've really come in understanding all the things that they've been through, and I just want to make this a memorable experience for them. You know, it's their last season, their Tulane degree, which is a huge thing, and going forward is right there in front of them. So, you know, just building relationships. I want them to feel good about, you know, who I am. I want to feel good about who they are. And we're just trying to, you know, establish a culture. You know, I'm sure that's what we're all trying to do as new head coaches. But,
sure.
You know, I think it's taken some getting used to, because, you know, obviously a previous coach would do it a different way. I kind of run around with a firecracker up my rear end, so to speak. So I'm always, you know, blowing a whistle or yelling or screaming or laughing or doing something. So they're probably all thinking like, okay, who's this guy? How long is this going to last? You know, those types of things. But, you know, just really trying to get to know these guys and let them know it's okay to, you know, let their guard down, and we got their back, and we're trying to build a program, and we want them to be included in it. So it's been good, though. The kids have embraced it, I think, you know, over time. It's just like Chinese torture. You do it long enough, you know, eventually they'll start to like it.
The very first Chinese torture reference on our Calls from the Clubhouse podcast from Big Jew. Thanks, buddy.
You got it.
And then Lastly, but certainly not least, Coach Jackson over at Liberty, again, taking over a successful program. And what did you and your staff really bring to that spot, and kind of what have been your real focus and objectives as you guys have gotten into those players this fall and this winter?
Well, I think, you know, it's hard to add a whole lot to what Nick and Travis just said, because I think anytime you take over a program, if your passion isn't the kids and the relationships and the trust, just like Nick said, I mean, it's hard to, you know, it's hard to have success. And I think, you know, everything that you want in your program has to be a byproduct of the things that you do every day. And so for us, you know, the most important thing for us was to just allow these kids to see how much, you know, you cared about them and you cared about their experience. It's funny, you know, we've got 14 seniors on this team. So I'm in a lot of the same boat that Travis is, where you feel an immense responsibility as the head coach to allow these kids to have an experience in their last go round at the college level. Cause you know, I think there's nothing like it. Yeah, I'm a little biased, but I don't think there's anything like it. I didn't play pro ball, but there's nothing like college baseball and being part of something that's bigger than yourself. And, you know, you want those guys to have that mountaintop experience, and it's not Disney World. It's not going to happen just because we want it to. But if, you know, if you do things the right way and you have some time with those kids to allow them to just realize how much you care and how much you're invested in them and their growth, not just as a player, but, you know, as a person and the things that they bring to, you know, the university. And then once they leave here, what are they going to bring to the world and their family and all those things? I think if you start there, you end up having something that is the foundation of your program. And we can sit here and talk X's and O's all we want, but there's no reason to, because if you don't have those things in place, then, you know, you're not going to be able to go where you want to go. So that's exactly what we've done. Same thing here at Liberty as Travis is doing at Tulane and Nick at Kentucky. And I think that's probably a byproduct of who we've worked for. And being able to see how, you know, how that works and how that leads to success.
That's outstanding. And we're looking here at some different scenarios, but the reason you guys were picked for this show and wanted to kick off our brand new season of podcast was, again, great young assistant coaches that got great opportunities as now new head coaches. And the only one that's the outlier, and we'll start with him, Travis, at Tulane, has had a touch of head coaching experience. He had a couple years at Edmonds and Tacoma as a head coach, but so Travis, looking back at yourself there as you first got into coaching, head coach of the junior colleges there, and now working your way up as an assistant, as a recruiting coordinator, as an associate head coach, and now you get this opportunity. Who have you leaned on? Who are those folks that you lean on and go, man, give me some guidance, give me some just some stuff that I need to know, and then also what they offer? What are those nuggets of information they gave you?
Well, I don't think the head coaching experience part counts anymore because it was so long ago, so I actually forgot how. So I'm trying to learn on the fly here, but obviously, like all of us in this game, you meet people, you develop relationships, you learn kind of your basis of how you like to do things on and off the field. You know, I started mine with, like I said, referred to earlier, Mark Maktoff from Gonzaga talked me into coming and getting involved in the game. And, you know, he had a chance to play at Stanford. Was on the national championship in 87, you know, so he had some Stanford things in his background through his teachings, you know, and I just really learned from him that you want to get good at something, you got to do it a lot, you know, and so just the baseball part, he was just a meat and potato kind of guy, and it was like, let's just get after it and go for it. So that part of the baseball thing I've held on to dearly. I speak to him all the time. I'm always calling him, bugging him, ask him about certain things about hitting or what have you, and our relationship has stayed strong since. You know, certainly be remiss to not mention Coach Corbin, who I know most people know of. You know, I've learned from him just really the importance of your last question. You know, it's the culture, it's the relationships, it's the people, it's the investment, you know, it's the things that you have to do if you want to be a certain way. And the organization and the time put into it and the care of, you know, all those types of things. So, you know, those two guys, you know, probably wish I didn't have their cell numbers at this point, because I'm calling them a lot and, you know, trying to figure this whole thing out. But, you know, it's always nice to have some mentors like that to help you along the way.
That's great. Those dynamite information. And Coach Jackson at Liberty, again, you and Nick are in similar situations with brand new head coaching experience, you know, wearing this crown as head coach, who have you leaned on? Who are the guys that you really use as mentors that have kind of helped you work through this fall and this winter? And again, what was that great pieces of information they offered to you?
Yeah, I think, you know, I think Mike Fox would come to mind first. He's just such an unbelievable, you know, manager of practice and media and, you know, the Rams Club there in Chapel Hill and, you know, doing things for our facility. I learned so much just watching him, you know, manage all that. And so, you know, just leaning on him, you know, hey, where do I start? I remember calling him, hey coach, you know, I've got my first team meeting here with my players. Give me just some advice here. And, you know, he was great. And just, you know, here's what I would do. Here's what I would say. This is, you know, they're not going to remember so much, you know, all these little things and all these, you know, things you want to lay out as much as the way, you know, you handle yourself. And so, you know, I've just tried to lean on him and, you know, just, you know, Scott Forbes is a great friend of mine. We bounce, you know, a lot of things off of each other. And, you know, certainly Mark Scaff, Randy Hood. I worked with Cliff Godwin at UNC Wilmington. He was our volunteer assistant. He was young and I've watched him, you know, move his way up to being an unbelievable coach and head coach and successful head coach. So, you know, a lot of things, you know, hey, what to expect, you know, came from Cliff. You know, he's young. He's kind of, you know, approaches things the same way I would. So those guys come to mind first, but, you know, honestly, if you're paying attention and you're really, you have a vision for yourself and you have a vision for what you want to do, I think you're doing that your whole career, and it's hard to really pinpoint some things, you know, that have happened over the last 6 months and who I've asked advice for. I think it's more of a collection of just the people I've been fortunate to be around and paid attention to how they talk and the way they interact with players that's allowed you to kind of fall back on some of those things since I got here.
And last, again, not least, Nick Mangione at University of Kentucky. Again, who have you leaned on back for guidance that have kind of helped you, you know, get a little more comfortable in this seat as head coach? And what were some of that information they offered to you?
Well, one thing I've always tried to do is learn. I've always been committed to constantly learning. I just never want to feel like I know it all. So I'll go back to my high school days with Coach Jones and Coach Larson. They just taught me the importance of tough love and accountability, how important that was. And then moving on to Florida Gulf Coast, I spent that 1 year with Dave Tillett, and we basically just recruited all the time. So he just taught me a ton of things about how to talk on the phone and maybe questions to ask guys and the importance of being organized and creating a list. And then moving forward, going to where I played at Embry-Riddle, Greg and Todd Williams. Greg Williams, the head coach, just an unbelievable human being, taught me a ton of things. I spent 7 years with him and Todd Williams, and I don't have enough time to go over all the things they taught me, but just the importance of having a plan. Just every week, having a plan, having it mapped out, and then obviously being able to prioritize and make adjustments to your plan is just so important. And, you know, Todd Williams, who's here with us now, which is a really unique deal. One of my coaches in college is on staff with us, and he's coaching with us now here. Just the importance of having offensive goals and defensive goals within your team and how to structure your practices to accomplish those goals. So there's a plan there for everything. And then, of course, you know, I spent 1 year with Bobby Miranda, and the importance of, you know, he taught me just how important it was to be yourself. And then, you know, 8 years with John Cohen, just an unbelievable person. Just he taught me to never let your brain stop. His brain doesn't stop. It just goes. It goes. And it's always thinking. For a guy as bright as him, I'm just shocked because I spent over a decade with him. And to be around a man as smart as he is and accomplish all the things he accomplished, I mean, he's the 100% opposite of a micromanager. In 10 years, he never told me what time to be in the office, never told me where to go recruiting, never. I mean, he gave me a ton of freedom. And what he taught me was when you do that to people, you find out who they truly are. And if you got the right people in the right spots, you can trust them. And how important that is amongst your staff to just surround yourself with people that you trust. And you don't need to stand over them and micromanage them. because if you got the right people and they can be themselves, they're going to make others better and be leaders of men. So been around a ton of other guys. Obviously, we don't have time, but those are some things that those men have taught me and extremely appreciative.
Fellas, if you're a listener and you're taking this information in, we have a saying on our podcast, this is absolutely certified audio gold. This is unbelievable. And we appreciate you guys being so forthright and transparent on some of this stuff. And if you're just clicking into us, guys, we're talking with Scott Jackson, new head coach at Liberty University. We've got Nick Mingione, new head coach at the University of Kentucky, and Travis Jewett, new head coach at Tulane University. And Scott, we're going to go back to you on this and let you kick this one off. But we, again, working our way through our ranks, and if anyone's coached and then had the opportunity and been graced with the chance to be a head coach, you do realize that heavy is the head that wears this crown. And I think sometimes it makes you really go back and appreciate the head coaches you work for, because you understand now, you sit in their seat and you know what they deal with. But Coach Jackson, I mean, how much has your day-to-day activities and mindset and flow changed from obviously moving from the assistant to head coach? But then how are you going about that? How are you managing your staff? How are you managing recruiting? How are you going about that now as head coach at Liberty?
Yeah, I mean, I it's definitely changed. You know, you try to get in the office and have some time to yourself. My saying is, if you don't have it done by 9 o'clock, you risk maybe not getting it done, just because there's more people that want a piece of your time. There's more people that want to meet with you, you know, to knock on your door, just drop in and say, hey, whether it's, you know, people here on campus or former players. I learned that real quick here. So, you know, from our standpoint, I think, you know, the plan and the organization, just like Nick just mentioned, is, you know, that's where everything kind of, you know, starts and certainly finishes. So, you know, meeting as a staff, being able to trust those guys, delegation is huge. Nick's already said it, if you don't hire guys that you trust and guys that, you know, are going to go out and recruit the players that can help you win, and you know, that you don't hire guys that you can trust on the field to interact with your players and teach the game, and it's going to be a situation where your plate's probably a little bit too full. So, you know, those are the things that have changed for me the most. You know, just trying to manage that, and certainly, you know, the things that come with, you know, 35 guys in the locker room and class schedules and academics, and, you know, there's a lot of things that, you know, that you've got to be able to manage and you got to be on top of as a head coach that, you know, maybe as an assistant weren't directly your responsibilities, and, you know, things that I think, you know, maybe didn't fall under your plate. So it's been a challenge, but something that I've enjoyed and something that I've always wanted. So, you know, it's been great.
That's awesome. Coach Mingione, same question. Again, looking back at your works as a recruiting coordinator, now working now as a head coach, I know your day-to-day has changed. Can you go into that a little bit, talk about how you're managing all this that's now sitting on your plate at Kentucky?
Well, absolutely. And, you know, I got to go back to John Cohen, because his approach, where he just provided so much freedom, he has made me feel for the past decade, although I wasn't even close to being the head coach at Mississippi State, in a lot of ways, he made me feel like I was. And that's right, because he provided so much ownership and to me, and obviously he was the head coach, he made all the decisions, but his approach to way he let his assistants just coach and handle the things they were responsible for, I'm going to tell you, obviously my chair, it's weird, it's a lot bigger. It's like, it's a bigger chair than the little chair back, right?
Sure it is.
But in a lot of ways, I feel like he had been preparing me for this moment. And you know what, sure, when you have that much ownership in things like we did at Mississippi State, every loss hurt me. Every time we lost a recruit, it hurt me. Every time we didn't maybe get the result we wanted for our players, it hurt me, not only for our players, but it hurt me for Coach Cohen. Mm-hmm. Because I wanted him just to have the ultimate success. And I've just like poured everything I had into that program and serving him and serving our players. So in a lot of ways, by him providing me with all this freedom, and I remember Coach Greg Williams and Todd Williams, when I was at Embry-Riddle making no money and being a volunteer, they used to call me RC. They used to call me RC for recruiting coordinator. And I had my little calendar of all the events, and this is where Friday and Saturday, this is going on. And, you know, I'm calling all these coaches, and this is who they told me the players were. And really, I was not the recruiting coordinator, but boy, did they make me feel like that. And so I've been around a group of men, I feel like, that's helped prepare me for this moment. And I've worn it all on my sleeve, and it's all meant a lot to me, whether it be assistant or a head coach. And now I want it really bad for our players and our assistants, because I know what it's like to be in that seat. And for them to experience the success in the classroom, off the field, on the field, I want it really badly for them.
Well, you know, Big Jew's got a big chair. So, again, heavy is the head. Heavy is the head that we He's wearing this crown now as head coach at Tulane. And I'm again, you were associate head coach there at Vanderbilt. So obviously you shared a lot of responsibility with Coach Corbin. But now as it is your program. So I know your day-to-day has just changed completely. But go into that a little bit and how you're going about managing all that for the Green Wave.
Yeah, it certainly has changed. You know, like I kind of, you guys earlier, we got on the phone, you know, this morning I gave you the good evening. Because as Jack said, if it ain't getting done by 9, it probably is not getting done. A lot of truth to that, you know, and just the understanding probably of a 24-hour day, you know, lots of things to do, more behind-the-scene things, you know, the way your locker room looks, the facilities, the stadium, you know, we've got all new uniforms, changed our glove and bat contract. I mean, you know, just things like that that all of us probably weren't just completely responsible before. Now we're completely responsible for everything. So you just kind of have your, you know, your vision over the entire program. You know, we want to be good at baseball for sure, but we really want to have a full encompassing program. That takes a lot of things. You know, the people around here probably think, oh boy, who have we hired? You know, I'm talking to the Sodexo and, you know, when I say hot dog, I mean hot dog, you know, not cold dog. And I don't want the two-day-old popcorn, and I want the stadium clean and all the seats working, and I want the greeters at the gate. And you just kind of see where everything goes, and haven't even talked about getting a right-on-right slider yet, you know. Mm-hmm. So that's a big thing, and, you know, you just want the kids' experiences to be one of great memory, and it just takes a lot of these things. You want the fan experience to be good. You want all those things, and it takes time, and it takes effort and energy and thought about, you know, what we say is about being elite. So doing that is a big difference for me because obviously never done stuff like that before. You know, I've been more concerned about fielding percentages and batting averages and wins and all those types of things, and it goes much more beyond that now. But like Nick did mention, and Jack's too, you know, the great ones, they, as assistants, they let us work, you know, and that's one thing I've really learned from Corbs was, you know, hey, get your guys, trust them, and let them do their jobs, you know, and that's been a little bit hard for me, to be honest with you, too, just being able to step back, haven't done it for so long, and now just to let somebody else do it. They're more than qualified, but yet I'm always kind of like, well, what about, you know, out the cage? And then I finally sometimes have to just put a wad of gum in my mouth and walk away and let them go. But, you know, I love my guys. They're doing a great job, but, you know, really letting them understand that, you know, nobody's just standing right over your back. You guys got a job to do, and go for it, you know? So stuff like that, those are probably the biggest differences. You know, I might not be out on the field at noon like I was before.
Sure.
More like 12:15 now, Jax.
Well, you just kind of walked
Jax
into my...
Jax and Nick, you guys are sleeping on me. Let's go.
We're not sleeping. I'm taking notes, Jew.
Exactly. Yeah. Travis, you kind of walked into my spider web, and I'm going to go a little off script here, but I think you just opened up a really good, real introspective question is, you know, we know as assistants, and we talk about it, and probably every one of your head coaches, Coach Fox, Coach Cohen, and Coach Corbs most recently have probably told you, hey, it's great as an assistant because you spend about 90% of your time doing baseball, and you spend about 10% doing real administrative work, and then obviously we all know. You jump in, and now that whole thing flips. Now it's 10% baseball. Much like you said, you want to be out there in the cage with early work, but you can't. You got 90% of things sitting on your desk. So I guess let me just ask this question, and I'm going to open this up to anyone that wants to take it, but how have you dealt with that? How, like you said, you have to lean back a little bit and go, man, I got to let my guys work, and I got to pull back a little bit. But more details, how have you dealt with that change from 90-10 to 10-90?
I had to buy a suit. You know, like actually have a blazer with a tie because I've been doing all these speaking engagements, it seems like now, or, you know what I mean, meetings for game operations and things like that. But, you know, you just trust.
Sure.
Got to trust your guys.
And I think it's important to go into the cages, man, and go into the weight room. And, you know, that's how you that's how you really get your kids to trust you. And I think, you know, when you're out of sight and out of mind, you know, I don't think that's good. I think the kids, you know, that's how they know you care is, yeah, I want to see how much better you're getting on that slider off the hack attack, or I want to see how much investment you're making, you know, in the weight room. And, you know, there's a little time in between sets. There's a little time in between, you know, in the cages where I think as the head coach, you have to take advantage of that 2 or 3 minutes, and you have to check in with each kid. 'Cause you and I both know when you get out on the field and practice, it's time to go. And so,
yeah,
you know, over the course of a week, you know, those 2 or 3 minutes add up. And, you know, that's for me as a player, that's important. The players, you got to check in with them. There's more to this deal than just how, you know, how hard you can throw and how much juice you got in that bat. And that's what I want our kids to realize, is that we care about them in a lot more ways than just those ways. So I think that's important as the head coach is to say, okay, you know what? I'm done. I'm going to lock my computer and put up my cell phone and go down there and be with those guys, because let's face it, we all want an excuse to get out of the office and go throw BP or get on the field.
Well said.
Need to add to that, one of the things that I did was I just started making phone calls. And when I was out on the road this summer recruiting before the guys came back, I just started picking coaches' brains. Like, hey, man, if you had to do it all over again, my wife and I have a little boy. He's about 2.5 years old. And I love just asking parents, like, parenting advice. Like, hey, man, like, coach me up. I'm new to this, right? Like, give me some advice on parenting. Maybe some things you've done, or maybe things you wish you would have never done, right? Like, teach me. Mm-hmm. Teach me. I want to learn. So I started doing that this summer, and one of the best pieces of advice I got was, hey, Nick, don't bombard yourself with all that stuff. Although it's really important, do not lose focus of why you're there. And you're there to develop them as a student, a person, and player. So you got to spend time with your player. So I've made a commitment. Anytime anybody tries to get me to go some here or do there or do this during any sort of our practice or group time, I just tell them no. And hey, I always make it up. If I got to show up at 6 o'clock in the morning to do a meeting, I'll do it. But when it's time to be with the players, it's time to be with the players. And there needs to be a clear line. And I've drawn that line in the sand, and it really helps. So if there's anybody out there that's just getting ready to start a head coach or can do that, I would love to just bless them with that information, because that really made an impact on me.
Guys, that's awesome. That is great stuff. Thank you for being so transparent. Absolutely, on all fronts. You guys working your way up, and we talked through your experiences in college baseball and getting to this point, and I always think it's good you give back and you reach back and you bring guys up with you. And Coach Mangiano, I'm going to start with you. You looking back now, at it's almost like if you could sit in front of that 22-year-old Nick Mangiano, what would you tell him? But more importantly, just from where you sit and all the guys that you've lived on the road with, like as we were setting up this interview, you know, I know that all three of you guys have spent time together on the road. And what are the advice that you would give those young assistant coaches that are just absolutely hungry for a head coaching spot? What would you offer them, Nick, that would maybe just kind of settle their feet a little bit and stay focused? What would you offer to them?
Yeah, that's a great question. So for me, the biggest thing is, you know, I'm obviously, my faith is really important to me, and just spending time in prayer about going wherever you want to go. But most importantly, do not be chasing the next job. Mm-hmm. There's so many people out there. I think they're just looking for the next job. And it's like, what's your plan? Where do you want to go? What, blah, blah, blah. And hey, look, it's important to have a plan. I got it. But how about being where your feet are and just doing the best, absolute best job you can possibly do right where you're at and earning the next position? Because sometimes when you're looking over your shoulder and you're on the website looking for this job and that job, you lose focus of what's in front of you. So I would tell them, number one, to be where they are and to do the absolute best job they can serving their head coach and serving their players. And if you do that, I really believe that you have an opportunity to make a huge impact. And then second is, if you want to coach in college baseball, you got to be okay as a young coach to be poor for a really long time. Because if getting out, there's just not a lot of money when you first get in. So if you're chasing the money and the money's really important to you early and all of that things, I just say, hey, you might as well go to high school and get your salary, your high end. If the money's that important to you, you may not make as much, but you can start your retirement. You have a family. You can have your summers off. So if the money's not important to you
and you don't care and you're okay with being poor and not making it and maybe looking down the road 10 years from now going, man, it just never panned out. If you're okay with that, then stay in the college. And if you're not, then you probably need to do something else because it's hard. And one thing I did, and the third piece I would tell you, is to work as many camps as possible. Mm-hmm. To be a young coach, wherever you are, I would go out and meet as many people, get in front of as many people as you can, work as many camps as you can. And when you're at the camps, do the same thing you're trying to do in your program. Serve the head coach, serve the camp coordinator, and serve them kids. There's no doubt if you do that, people will notice. And ultimately, maybe, you know, God willing, there'll be some doors opened up for you.
I'll piggyback your point before we move on is from the great, legendary Dennis Rogers at Riverside Community College. You have to commit to being impoverished. You know, you have to understand that this is not a moneymaker, but you have to trust the process of growing and developing and know it's going to pan out if it's truly your path. So, Coach Jewett, back to you. Kind of advice for young assistant coaches. I mean, looking back at your career, what's the stuff you wish you knew along the way? Or if you could get in front of every assistant coach in the country, what would you offer to them?
You know, I thought Nick said it really well. It's just live in the moment, make the big time where you're at. Don't be chasing too much. Don't forget where you come from either, too. You know, I mean, you got to have something that you can lay your hat on. You know, I know as a young coach, when I was able to be a junior college head coach and, you know, mowing the fields and doing the laundries and all those types of things, you know, I think it allows you to really look back and stay humble. Remember where you come from. If you want to be great, you're going to have to certainly be organized. You're going to have to be a visionary. You got to know what you're looking for, where you're trying to go. Create all kinds of relationships. Be communicative. You know, Nick made it mention at camps, but it's just don't be afraid to introduce yourself to people and share with them your story and where you come from and, you know, share the thoughts of the school that you're with and how good it is and just things like that. So work hard, work smart, and, you know, hopefully it'll work out how they want it to. You know, I would say this too, the NCAA, we're talking about this fourth coach now and football is going to get their 20th coach and hopefully we're going to get one, but you know, all of us are making hopefully decent monies, you know, and certainly we'd like to get our assistants paid a lot more just because of all the things that they do and things like that. But as these guys start out for, you know, it'll get there for them, you know, eventually it'll happen and they deserve it. But, you know, we got this volunteer position. I hate even using the word because I don't know what part of it is volunteer. You know, it's just a lot of hard work. But, you know, we don't allow these guys to go out and recruit and develop these relationships that I referred to and you know, communicate with people and recruit, which is a huge thing for all of us, I know. But, you know, I'm really hoping that the NCAA can see that because right now I just don't think we're really developing that position that we've created for ourselves on our staffs so that Jax could hire a volunteer from somewhere because he's got experience or I could or Nick could or things like that. So, but be passionate, you know. You got to love doing what you're doing. And if you do it, it'll show in your work and, you know, dreams can come true. I'm certainly a living proof of that for sure. So,
Coach Jackson, I hope there's some meat left on the bone for this one, and I know there will be.
I was about to say I don't know that I can add a ton to that. My best advice, honestly, would be to recruit really good players, and it makes you look like a really good coach.
Yeah, that's a fact.
Great point.
No, you know that there's so much that goes into it, and I think if I'm listening to this and I'm a young coach, I think all you need to hear is where, you know, the three of us started and, you know, where we came from. And, you know, I have the same story of making, you know, $3,000 my first job and $5,000 in my second job. And, you know, I was at the Division II level and, you know, Nick was at the NAI level and Travis was at the junior college level. And so, you know, here we are, and I think all three of us would probably tell you that, you know, we kept our head down and we looked at, you know, what today was all about and how we could, you know, invest in the program. And Nick said it best, you know, how can you serve? How can you serve the players? How can you serve the program? How can you serve the school that you're at? And one day you're going to look up and there's going to be opportunities for you. And, You know, that's as simple as I can make it. If it's always about, you know, trying to coach in the ACC or the SEC, or it's always trying to, you know, hey, what's the next job out there, or hey, what's, you know, what this job pays or what that job pays, you're going to be chasing something that you're never going to catch. And so it has to be about the kids, and it has to be about just being on the field and looking up at the end of the day and saying, holy cow, I get to coach baseball for a living. Are you serious?
Right.
That's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. Forbes and I used to talk about it a lot. You know, there'd be times where, you know, we had a tough couple of years the last few years and didn't make the postseason. And, you know, at the end of the day, you know, you feel empty, but you're not empty if you sit back and you say, I get to coach baseball for a living. And even though I'm away from my family all summer recruiting, I'm watching baseball. That's pretty cool.
You guys are studs. And I'm going to put this last question out because I think it's a great opportunity. Like we talk about, our podcast is about promoting our guests and making sure they get to promote themselves, their staffs, their programs, what they're doing, and their contribution to the game. And we're going to go right into the recruiting pitch. And Coach Jewett, I'm going to let you kick this off. Why Tulane? Give us our best recruiting pitch of why somebody needs to come play for you and your staff and what you're building there at Tulane University.
Education, education, education. We have a world-class education. We call it a life certificate. And it excites me that I can sit across the table here in my office, meet with prospective student-athletes, their parents, and we can talk about inserting a life certificate in their back pocket. You know, and along the way, we're going to play some pretty good baseball. You know, New Orleans is a destination city. We've got wonderful weather. We've got culture. We've got a beautiful facility. Where other place would you rather go? I'm really big on the education. You know, I thought to myself, and this is for both Nick and Scott too, probably without putting words in their mouth, but, you know, none of us had to leave our prior jobs, you know, in terms of what we were doing, how we were doing, things we were doing, those things with, the relationships with, you know, Brownie and Corbs for me, and hopefully for them too. You know, we were all in pretty good spots. So in order to leave something like that, something needs to be magnetic enough to pull you away. And I thought to myself, you know, if I ever leave a school like Vanderbilt, I'd like to find some mirroring qualities, you know, some things that mirror this. And while my 4 years there, you realized how just important that education is. And, you know, as they're moving forward, because obviously baseball might not last forever, so we want to make sure that these guys are set up and they're getting themselves on a fast track for the rest of their lives. So I saw that in Tulane. There's a lot of mirroring images, private school education, population of the campus, you know, a lot of things like that. So all based on the education, and it's just prideful to be able to share that with the kids and hopefully not screw up their baseball experience while they're here.
And Coach Jackson, getting these guys on the flame train. Why Liberty? What's your best recruiting pitch to get these guys to come play
flame
for you?
Train.
Well, I tell you, we're very unique here in the way that, you know, that it's a Christian school, and it's something that is extremely important to me to be able to share that and have a platform that Liberty offers. And I think with that comes an experience that you get here that just allows you to grow in a lot of ways. You're surrounded with people who care about you in a lot more ways than just how hard you can throw and how far you can hit the ball. And, you know, for me, I think you get an experience here that's, you know, that certainly is all encompassing, and you get to grow in a lot of ways. And we've got unbelievable facilities here. I think that's something that you have to have in place, the opportunity to be able to, you know, certainly grow in those areas and have resources to do that. But at the same time, you know, it's got to be about your coaches and your teammates and being able to grow in those areas and being able to leave here and be prepared to be something that's more important than just a baseball player, like being a husband, being a dad, and having those things in your life that are going to stay with you. That's important to me. And so that's kind of our charge here along the way. Like Travis said, we're going to win games. We have expectations here, which is important. Anywhere you go, there should be expectations, because I think that keeps all of us, you know, pressing on. And so it's not going to be perfect. There's going to be days where it's going to be tough, and there's going to be some stretches through the fall, whether it's academically or
being away from home or losing two out of three. That isn't going to be exactly what you had in mind. And so you got to have something to fall back on here. And for us, that's the culture of our program and having some kids around you that really love you, some coaches that really love you and care about you. And so with that comes what I call the ultimate experience. And the ultimate experience is to leave here and say, I couldn't have imagined going anywhere else. And I couldn't have imagined it playing out the way it did. And here I am. And if you have a chance to play professional baseball, great. If you don't, you're ready to go take on things that are a lot more difficult and a lot more important than winning and losing baseball games, that's for sure.
Jax, that's like really well said. I think too, you talked about these kids' experiences and when they're done with it, you hope that there's a, 21, 22-year-old male that's just in tears. You know what I mean? It's moved them
exactly.
To some kind of emotion that they're not going to be living it every day, because they're going to be outside of it now, but yet well prepared to be outside of it. But yet the fact that they're not going to be inside of those walls or that culture every day would move them to that kind of emotion so that, they would be telling you basically that their experiences were one of great memory. And I like how you said that.
Really good. We're going to send it to the lefty closer. Going to bring us home on this. Coach Mingione at the University of Kentucky, what's your best recruiting pitch to get those guys to come be a Wildcat?
Just whatever they said. No.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, what they do is that's it. I mean, it's good right there. No, for me, it's six words. The first word is family. If there's anybody that's looking for a family atmosphere where they believe in brutal honesty, believe in an open door policy, where you can just totally be yourself and you don't have to put up any guards. The second word is winning. And I'm talking about winning in life. If you're interested in just winning in all phases and not just into winning baseball games, which by the way is really important, but just winning in life. And then the last piece is development, how important development is. Because as you guys know, we're the last piece to the puzzle. Them parents are going to turn them over to us, and we're the last piece to help shape them and prepare them for life. So if they're into development, and then the development piece is in the last three words, and that's a student, a person, and a player. So just how important the student portion is and how that they'll be held accountable every day for what kind of student they are. And it's been awesome, man. Our team GPA this semester was a 3.356 team.
Wow.
Second highest in 15 years. And yeah. And then the next piece is person. If you're into, let's go. Oh, we got you. The middle piece is a person. If you're into visiting veterans' homes and spending time with them, or the Miracle League, and you're interested in walking kids to school and reading to them and things of that nature, then we're into that. And then obviously the third piece is the player part. We want to prepare them for the big leagues. We want them to have an unbelievable experience where we're going to compete for championships. And if they're into that, family, winning, and development, they're into student, person, player, then this is a place for them. And if not, it's okay, because there's a lot of great programs like where Big Jew is and where Scott is. I mean, there's a lot of awesome programs. So one of my favorite sayings in recruiting, and I know you guys have probably heard this, but you don't get who you want, you get who you are. And ultimately, that's what we're looking for, is we're looking for people that are who we are.
Well, I'm going to end it like this, because I think our listeners think exactly the same way. You guys are true gentlemen in our game. You're doing things for the right reasons. And I'll leave you with this nugget that I think applies directly to all of you. And Scott's the one that really scratched this for me. Was heard a great old coach, wise coach, say, we may all go throughout our career and coach 100 kids that make Major League Baseball, but we most certainly are going to coach 1,000 guys that are going to be productive members of society. We're going to coach about 750 guys that become husbands, and we're going to coach about 500 guys that get to be fathers. So what are you really doing for these guys that's post-baseball, that's helping them go dominate life, move forward, and be successful? And you can tell, as our listeners can, that you three are certainly engineered that way. You're on that path. And guys, I cannot thank you enough for jumping on our very first 2017 Calls from the Clubhouse podcast. Scott Jackson, head coach at Liberty University, Travis Jewett, head coach at Tulane University, and Nick Mingione, head coach at the University of Kentucky. Guys, thanks for the time. We wish you the best of luck this season, and we hope to catch up with you here real soon. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Sheets.
Appreciate you having us, Sheets.
Sheets, thankful.
Happy
How about that one, guys? Some real introspective responses and information on this one, coaches. And what a way to get our Calls from the Clubhouse train back in motion. Wow, what a huge thanks to Scott Jackson from Liberty University, Nick Mingione from University of Kentucky, and Travis Jewett from Tulane University. We're talking new year, new dugouts for each of these great coaches, and we're just so thankful and appreciative of their time to join our show. So again, guys, thank you for being on with us. We truly will be following along. We wish you the best of luck as you get settled into your new dugouts this season. Also, a huge thanks to AstroTurf. This is our new proud sponsor of our podcast, and these folks have been ahead of the curve for 50 years when they invented the synthetic turf industry nearly five decades ago. Now, you can find AstroTurf fields at major colleges, high schools, and municipalities around the country, and they can even engineer their services, coaches, to play like natural grass and clay. How impressive is that? It's a game changer for your program. You can beat the weather by heading over to astroturf.com. That's astroturf.com for more information, or call 800-723-8873. Better yet, 800-723-TURF. To talk through how AstroTurf can take your field to a different level. Again, thanks crew over there at AstroTurf for helping us out with the show. Now, if you thought that was a great episode, just wait. We're taking this show to new levels this year, and we don't want you to miss out. So here's a few ways you can catch all the new releases this year. Just stay tuned to our website, abca.org. If you click on the resources tab at the top, Call Some Clubhouse podcast link will be right there waiting for you. You can click, you can scroll through all of that great content and guests. That's one way. You can also subscribe to our show on your iPhone or your Android device. And every week when a new episode comes out, it'll show up right on your phone, pop in the earbuds or plug it into your car and take this content on the road with you. It's a no-brainer. We're talking recruiting trips. We're talking away trips on the bus, but also working in your office at the computer, guys. These are for you. And the personal growth junkie coaches that are out there, it's a way for you to grow and develop and get this great content on your time, and we hope you take advantage of that. Also, you can stay tuned to our Twitter account, at ABCA1945, and you'll always see the release of every episode every Tuesday. Be on the lookout on Tuesdays, and then follow us during the week as we'll post quotes from the podcast and links to hear our show. Remember, our podcast is all about connecting you with the very best baseball minds in our game and, again, delivering on tremendous insight and content. So stay tuned and dialed in. We got more coming. You'll be very, very happy. Just a reminder that this episode is connected with our upcoming hashtag ABCA chat on Twitter. We're moving back to Monday nights, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Very simple. Search hashtag ABCA chat. On your phone, you'll click on all tweets. On your computer, you'll click on latest, and boom, you're in. We'll post questions from our account revolving around the topic of the podcast roughly every 5 to 10 minutes, and you can share your thoughts, your opinions, videos, practice plans, etc., that are all relative to our questions, but also the key is you can engage, connect, network with every single coach that's on our chat. It's unbelievable. You're talking retweets and likes are flying around. And it's all about helping create a platform for our coaches to grow themselves, develop, and sharpen their coaching philosophies. And it brings all of us together just for one night, just for an hour, but it's helping grow our game. So again, we hope to see you on there. It's an awesome time. Check in on our next ABCA chat, Monday, February 6th, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We'll be waiting for you, and we hope to see you guys on there with us. Huge key to this, make sure you're following us on Twitter, at ABCA1945. You can find me on there as well, at CoachSheets3, and you can also reach me directly by email, Sheets, S-H-E-E-T-S, at abca.org. Coaches, if you love this episode or a particular quote struck a chord with you, tweet at us. Let us know. We love engaging with our coaches. We want to hear from you about how our podcast and this hashtag Audio Gold is helping each of you develop. We want to hear about how hashtag ABCA Chat is helping you. But also what you're doing with your programs and how we can help. We're all about engaging with our member coaches. So again, we look forward to connecting with each of you guys real soon. And last but certainly not least, guys, are you an ABCA member? And we hope that you are. I mean, your seasons are approaching fast, and we certainly want you on board with the rest of us. Join the baseball coaches fraternity here at the ABCA. It's only $45, guys, and I can assure you as a former coach, it'll prove to be the very best investment you have ever made in your coaching career. If you need more info, head over to abca.org. You can check out that extensive list of membership benefits. And again, remember, it is all for you, about you, and because of you. So we hope to have you join us here at the ABCA really soon. Thanks again, coaches, for listening in. We are off and rolling downhill now. Can't stop us. Try to keep up. The audio gold is coming at you each week now, and we're fired up to grow the game along with you. So until next week, guys, keep growing, keep developing. We wish you and your club the very best, and thank you for what you're doing for the game of baseball.